Our high school guidance counselor used to ask us what you would do if you had $1 million, didn't have to work. And then invariably, whatever you'd say, that was supposed to be your career. So if you wanted to fix old cars, then you're supposed to be an auto mechanic.
So what did you say?
I never had an answer. I guess that's why I'm working at Initech.
No, you're working at Initech because that question is bullshit to begin with. If everyone listened to her, there'd be no janitors because no one would clean up if they had $1 million.
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
Talking about millions of dollars.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
We're living in a material world and I am a material girl. Or boy.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Well, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke, don't do
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million. Well, I'd buy you a house.
Warren, welcome back to Snacks and Jacks. Now, tomorrow is Mr. Kevin O'Neill. She's the bright-eyed and bushy-tailed Jay-Z on the board this morning. S&P futures down 14, Dow down 110, NASDAQ down 80. So we had a little rally yesterday and not so much today so far. Yesterday we had we were up in the morning and we turned around and went down, and then we turned around and went back up again. So it ended up being kind of the opposite of what we have been seeing, where we were up in the morning and it finished up down. Yesterday we actually rallied pretty good into the close, and now we're giving roughly half of it away. Part of that is the Britain Brexit thing has turned into somewhat of a disaster, as we I don't know if we necessarily predicted, Kevin, but it looked like it pretty darn complicated to me, and it looks like it wasn't much of an exit. So I had a feeling that she was going to get some blowback. I didn't realize that half the place was going to quit. So my estimation was some blowback.
But that's how you get the blowback in the multi-party system, is it quits and you lose people in your coalitions, and then you have to go back and start over again.
I think if we had to do it over again, we would probably want their system here, because it reacts to the court of public opinion a lot faster than ours. I think we would like it much better. Not that it would be better. I don't know if I'd like it, but I'm saying the world as we currently see it.
There's some things that would... That I think would be great. The fact that you have to form coalitions and that you have to find common ground with groups, but you know, because right now, you know, we have disparate groups finding their way towards one party or the other, and in many cases they don't have all that much in common, and sometimes you just get lip service to the cause of a small group of people, and other times you get, you know, genuine making common cause, but it's just kind of all over the place.
I did not realize, the more I read about it. Jay-Z, have you guys kicked this around about any economics classes at DePaul, this Brexit thing, or no?
No.
Because I didn't realize, Kevin, how big of a fiasco the Irish part of it was. The fact that one of the Irish...
Typical, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean...
It's always the Irish messing things up. We're going to have to, you know, it hasn't been good since we saved civilization in the 1400s.
I know negotiation is, in fact, negotiation. You can't just walk in and unilaterally say something. But I think in this particular case, I wouldn't be, Trumpian about it, but I would walk in and say, look, we want out. We want a nice deal for trade, which we started out with years and years ago in the common marketplace. And by the way, we're not going to put up border checkpoints in Ireland. Okay, we're just not going to do that. Why would you? Why you haven't had a border checkpoint from Northern and Southern Ireland in how many years? For God's sake, I mean, what's the point? But how they could force you to do that? I mean, what power does the economic union have over you right now? I don't say they're holding the trade thing against you, but you know, right now, I don't think the current deal that they have going forward on the table, that Theresa May is saying the best they can do, they have no ability to do any of their own trade deals, which is exactly what they didn't want, right? That's what people voted out.
Correct. They didn't like being told how they had to do everything.
So I can understand where the people, and then of course there's the losers, in my opinion, that want to just, well, let's have another vote, maybe we'll vote to stay. Well, no, that's, I don't think you do that, Kevin. I just, but I was, you know,
instead we do recounts.
Yeah, we do recounts. We do have. I will say this, and this is not a. I'm going to say that I'm probably the one person, that I've heard say, I'm sure other people must think it as well, that in the Bush-Gore fiasco in Florida, I'm going to say that I think that Gore got totally screwed on the hanging Chad thing in that stupid county, but I don't think he got screwed in total, because I think Bush got screwed by the networks declaring Florida a Gore win when the polls were still open in the part of Florida that's in the central time zone. So I'm going to say that Bush got screwed every bit as bad as Gore. But my whole thing is, for that state to be determining an election essentially almost year after year, or 4 years after 4 years, when they can't get it together, they appear to have an awful lot of electoral votes, they always come down to damn near a dead heat. That particular state is the exact... That is my big spotlight in the sky as to why the Electoral College, to me, is messed up. Because every single one of these things down there, this particular, and Kevin, you're a stats bluff. Tell me these two elections aren't a dead heat. By the time you screw around with it, they don't know what they're doing in Broward County. What's the other place that's all messed up too up north? I mean, I guess with a senator, governor, internally, you gotta make a call at some point. But for that particular state right now, if this was a federal election, to have somebody 2 weeks now come out and say, oh, by the way, somebody's 8 votes again, they get all those Electoral College votes, and oh, by the way, we're turning the election for the whole country on this crap. I don't see how we could possibly hold our head up to the rest of the world.
That's not an argument against the Electoral College. That's an argument against how individual states choose their electors.
Okay, what I'm saying is that
there's a significant difference in that.
No, if it...
Because there are states that will do at least a partially proportional
one
allocation of their electors, of their representatives in the Electoral College.
Oh, so, well, there's one or two. Nebraska and who else?
Yeah, well, but there's no reason any others couldn't do it.
But I'm saying, for us in Illinois, Democrat or Republican, to look down there and say, wait a minute, these idiots with a dead-heat state are going to decide who's president, because one of them is going to get 40 some votes. They're like the third or fourth biggest electoral vote, aren't they? They got to be.
Florida's big. I don't know where they rank in there. But
well, they're not California. They're not New York. I'm going to say they got to be in the top five, at least the top. I mean, I'm not positive on that, but surely in the top 10.
Right, but your counter argument is essentially that Illinois and Florida, or Illinois and California and New York, should decide it. So
no.
The Electoral College.
I'm saying at least they're not. There's none of the other states. Well, a couple of them are. The whole idea is they can't even figure out who's the winner, and yet the winner gets all the votes and not half. I wouldn't care if Bush would have got half plus one, because that's kind of where the numbers are, right? Or plus two, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, whatever. There were several recounts, you know, independently done well after the election. News organizations and so on that did recounts of the Bush election, and not a one of them ever changed the outcome.
Well, I'm going to say that Bush got. You can't recount the fact that the idiots called the state before the polls were still open. So Bush got screwed on that.
Right, but regardless of that, it's been recounted several times. By news organizations, and never has the outcome changed.
But the hanging chads, Kevin. The hanging chads.
But there are still people who believe that Gore got screwed.
I think he got screwed in a couple of ways. He got screwed in that the declared the winner. In the U.S., which kind of goes back to my thought earlier, in the U.S., whoever chases is after 2 days, we're bored with it, and the guy who's chasing it becomes the sniveler. And so, since she declared Bush won with basically no evidence when she did it, Gore became the 1 month later whiner, and people got tired of hearing about it. To a large extent. I know I did.
Yeah, you know. Well, you know, I got tired of hearing, all I want is for all the votes to be counted.
Yeah.
No, you don't. I'm watching your attorneys.
No, you don't.
They only want certain votes to be counted.
Well, the whole idea, whenever somebody stands up and says, even if you don't vote for me, it's important that you go to the polls and vote. There's a lie right there.
Yeah.
Why would you want to escort somebody to the polls if you know they're going to vote against you? I mean, I'm a pretty fair guy, but I'm south-sided enough that I'm not going to do that. Right? Come on. I mean, anyway. So, Kevin, I was listening to your favorite person, the new head of the banking committee, Maxine Waters, talking about regulation.
Oh, I love Maxine. Yeah, what did she have to say?
Well, she was talking about there's going to be, you know, more regulation on these banks, and she would never do it. But I don't think I've ever been a bleep to any guest that came out. Although the guy from the school board thought I was. When I asked him, well, you know, what if enough people leave? If there's just not enough money to pay these pensions, like, what are you going to do? And he basically said, if there's one guy left, you know, he better have a lot of money. And I'm like, okay. This audit came through on the Pentagon. I don't know if you heard this morning. That there's some 1990 law says that everybody in the government's got to get audited. So they had 1,200 auditors working on the Pentagon for, I don't know how long. I mean, Jay-Z, if you can pull up this story, it's pretty interesting. With the Pentagon audit. And of course, they found all kinds of issues with, you know, property accumulation and payroll and munitions purchases. I mean, you name it. I mean, probably was all done, all messed up, right? Because that's just, you know, that's what happens. So my question comes down is, isn't regulation to me, it's always the best thing in the world for, like, the other guy? And can anybody even really define it? What does regulation mean? To watch everything you do on a daily basis? To watch you when you go to the can? I mean, what do we do? I mean, when somebody like Maxine Waters, and I'm not picking on her because she's a she or she's African American, whatever, but they throw these words around. I mean, the reason why, Kevin, I was in a huge arbitration one day, and I was a expert witness, you know, accent expert, that was me. And they bring this lady on from some big firm, and she was the head of risk. And the markets were crazy when all this stuff happened. These people lost a lot of money. The clearing firm pretty much messed up, but of course clearing firms get to mess up with other people's money. I'm not sure why that is, but anyway. So the lawyer says to her, she's talking about the markets were very volatile. Volatility was incredible, and all this happened. And the guy says, well, okay, how volatile were they? What do you mean they were volatile? And he said, well, were they more volatile than, like, any other time, or, like, 5 other times, 20 other times, once a year, once every 5 years? Oh, no, they were very volatile. Can you define volatility for me? What do you mean? Well, can you define it? When you say volatility, what you mean? Well, volatility is volatility. And he goes, you don't get to define the word I'm asking you.
You're a funny guy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so it's like regulation. You know,
sleep is it volatile?
It's like, so. I mean, I wonder if you ask that any, and not just her. I mean, I don't want this to be personal because I'm sure she's very bright. If she was here, I'd like her. But what do you mean by regulation? Are we talking about having a group like the Federal Reserve because they have money that in very disparate parts of the country in banks, and the whole reason for this in the first place, Kevin, which of course nobody could probably relate to you, other than some guy like me who reads this stuff, and you could, I mean, and obviously Hal could, people come on the show, I'm not holding myself up, but the reason for a central bank was that if you have an agrarian society, everybody in the country needs to borrow money in the fall or in the spring for planting, and then they're flush with money on a good year in the fall. Okay, so if you're going to have a bank problem, it's going to be in the spring. And if you've got, in the rest of the world, the rest of the country is probably somewhat different. So you've got this disparate economy where you have borrowing needs in one sector that are seasonal or otherwise, and other areas of people are flush. So if you have a central bank, you can sort of move this money around a little bit and make sure everybody has, the bank that needs the money in the springtime gets to borrow from the Fed, where other people get to put their money back to the Fed or do to another bank or, pass money back and forth between banks with the federal funds or something like that. It's a system that needs to work together. So the regulation to make sure that they, quote, do what they're supposed to be doing as an independent stuff, I don't have a problem with somebody watching the Fed. Okay, and I don't have a problem with somebody watching banks, because if you're on the edge of risk, at least we want to know about it. If you're going to go under, then we sort of have to plan for it. I'm not saying it's my business to tell you not to make this
law. Well, yeah, especially because they're federally insured institutions.
Right.
So
right.
As a result, yes, the feds have a right to set
exactly.
The standards, just like your insurance company has the right to come and say your place is a fire trap, your rates are either going to go up or I'm not going to insure you at all.
But there's a line that says if you and I buy a bank, okay, and we're, you know, wail away with a half sachet, as they used to say on the floor, and we give everybody and his brother a loan. I don't have a problem with the bank coming in and saying, hey, you guys, by the way, you got a problem here because all these loans look to us to be not performing, and you guys better suck it up a little bit, or we're going to pull your insurance. I get that part, Kevin, but I don't want 15 people from the Fed that I pay looking over your and my shoulder on every single loan. That's a whole different brand of ball. That's our business. If we bleep it up, we bleep it up, right? And I have a problem with somebody looking at it, but for the idea that, oh, no, you can't do this. This is the form you need to do. You can't believe this guy because he's in the neighborhood. He has to put out this form. And, oh, by the way, the money in his bank account, you need to go back 5 years and find out where he got. Kevin, this is not my idea of regulation. It's somebody's.
Welcome to the world of Dodd-Frank.
Well, yeah. Well, this is going on before Dodd-Frank, I think, in a lot of ways. So my point is, what if Maxine was here and I said, you know what I think? I think you need to be regulated. Well, what do you mean? You need to be regulated. Why would I need to be regulated? I'm elected. I don't care if you're elected. So there's rules. There's campaign financing rules. I want somebody in your office that every time you make a vote on something, if you vote for the insurance industry, I want to know how much money you've taken from the insurance industry, and if it's over a certain amount, I'm going to say you should recuse yourself. Well, nobody gets to make that call but me. I mean, regulation is always the greatest thing in the world for the other guy, isn't it?
Oh, always.
So do you think they want to be regulated? They would be absolutely appalled. And yet they have no problem putting somebody next to you and me and giving Jay-Z an auto loan. Oh, you can't give her an auto loan. What do you mean? I've known Jay-Z for 20 years. She's never not paid a debt. It looks to me like, based on our formula, she's a bad risk. Don't give her that auto loan. It's not your business. It's my money. You know, to a certain extent. I mean, if I do it so many times that I take the bank down, then, yeah, I'm into your you know what I'm saying, Kevin? There's an overriding idea of keeping an eye on the place, and there's getting in people's shorts. And I think they're in people's shorts to the way where they're screwing up the economy. I really do. But I don't have a problem. Why should? If we have campaign financing laws in this country, we have a couple, even though they're useless, but if we did, why shouldn't we audit every one of our senators and representatives as to whether or not they're following them? We audit everybody else. We get once a year, we get five people coming in here. If more people come in here than we have working here, for God's sake, and they're here for 2 weeks. And they, you know.
Well, we ask them to fill out a financial disclosure every year.
And they don't even do it.
Well, they do, but nobody audits that.
Did you ever see the ones in the trib about the alderman? Who's the guy that was Blago's father-in-law? Alderman Mel. He sends some piece of crap in that's handwritten and says he doesn't own anything else. He's not a lawyer. He doesn't even own an apartment building. He doesn't own anything. He's not an insurance guy. An alderman is a part-time job. I might have believed that for 35 years or something that whatever he was in there, that he had zero outside interest in anything and never got a check any other place for 35 years. Am I that stupid?
It's a miracle.
Yeah. And yet, now, why wasn't that thing audited? If we're going to regulate everybody, just saying. I mean,
you're looking for an answer from me? No.
I guess
because we don't make sense. We've talked governing class before. I mean, that's really it. Is that there's also an attitude. If you know people don't go into government with it, they seem to be pretty good at acquiring the attitude that we know better than you. We will tell you what to do because we know better than you.
Allegedly Shakespeare stole it from, was it Plato? Who will guard the guards? Or who will watch the watchers or something? Was the original...
Well, and it's one of the reasons I don't know if I said it on the air Wednesday or not, but I know Lou reiterated it. I've said it this week, I know, and that is I'm glad to see more military people going into government lately. And, you know, running for Congress and running for Senate seats and so on, because at least we have people who understand the concept of service, service to country. Now, whether that will get corrupted, because that's just the way it works when you go to Washington, I don't know.
There were people, Kevin, that used to think that being a representative or a senator, I'm going to say like Paul Simon, I'm sure every state could put a few that would have thought that was service and actually treated it as such.
Well, and that's what I mean, is you now have people running for office frequently enough whose attitude is service, that they're there to serve, not to govern, and that, you know, and I mean that in the sense that, you know, that they don't think they, you know, they don't think they want to tell people what to do. They want to do what people need to be done, and there's a difference in that. You know, I had a leadership conference that I emceed last week, and you know, it was one of the things I talked about introducing one of my guests is, and that's that, you know, someone's a leader will see things that need to be done and will do it. You know, the attitude is always what needs to be done, not what do you want done, not what do I want done, but it's what needs to be done. And I, you know, I think we need more of that in government so that we aren't doing things we don't need to be doing, and we do address the issues that are real issues.
I would.
I think service people understand that. I think people who have served in the military have a pretty good sense of that.
All right. Do you mind if I shift gears for a second here? We, your buddy Kramer, after talking about how these stocks shouldn't be going down for like weeks now.
I think he's your buddy, not mine.
I know. I mean, for the purposes of this argument, he's going to be your buddy.
Okay.
and you and I have talked, and I don't. There's. It's an odd thing in the world, Kevin. I mean. That, especially in the markets, because I've been around a while, and every time somebody says the markets can't go down here, look how good the economy is, look how good the market looks, look how good the charts look, okay? Point well taken. Yet point two is every single market sell-off I've ever seen comes from a top when things look good, things are going up, and everything looks great. So there's kind of the yin and the yang there, right? I mean, the only reason why...
Well, things looked really good in 2007.
Yeah. Well, if you ignored what the Fed should have been watching, the money flows from overseas. And if the FINRA people or the NASD would have taken a look at Bear Stearns and Drexel and... not Drexel. Who's the other guys? Yeah, it was Drexel. No, it wasn't. It was... who were the other guys that went under? Bear Stearns didn't go under. Okay, I'm on blank. You know what I'm talking about, the firm that actually didn't come back. Somebody will tweet that in for us. But they should have known that those guys were stretched that much because they're the ones that do the audit. That stuff you should pick up on an audit. You mean it shouldn't be going through every single file and find out if a signature's missing to that extent. I'm not saying you shouldn't do that, but you know what I'm saying? So I've seen this happen where everything really looked pretty good, and all of a sudden 3 weeks later, I mean, literally, the five stools that you thought were holding the place up all were made of straw or something. Now, Kramer's saying that...
Yeah, what's the bubble now?
The bubble's been the same.
Is the market the bubble, or is it something else in the economy that's the bubble?
I think it's the debt. It's constantly the debt, Kevin. It's always been the debt. We pushed up the debt load in 2008 was too high. We collapsed, and what do? We pushed the debt even higher to get it going again. It's always the debt, in my opinion. So now Kramer says that CEOs are telling him off the record the economy has quickly cooled off. And I think you and I have noticed that in the last month or two. And I question, I agree with you. The question is why. And the thing I always bring up that I'd love to know, that I never know the answer of, if it's true, and that happened in October, why October? Why not September? Why not August? Why not next January? I mean, what causes that? Is it commensurate with this... I think a lot of it has to do with the timing and a lot of this trade stuff. The timing is just wrong, I think. I think some of the stuff, even though the Fed is, in my mind, is just moving rates back to where they should be and always should be, and you just got to kind of suck it up a little bit. I don't the amount of the sniveling about it makes me think that you know this whole idea that firms are borrowing money and ruining their balance sheet at 3% and buying their stock back. God, Kevin, that's insane. I mean, I think it's a combination of an awful lot of things like it always is, and somehow or another it all comes together in 1 month, and I don't know why that is, but I think there is a coin. I think there's a dramatic amount of price increases in the last 8 weeks, all of a sudden. I think people are using the tariffs to just raise prices everywhere. I think steel is 10-20% across the board. Saying last week about car windows are 10% across the board. I mean, I think it's high. I think it's higher in a Home Depot. I look at Walmart saying their sales are up 3.4%. I'm gonna guess, Kevin, if I could do it, I'm gonna guess that their actual sales are even or down from a year ago. That the sales up 3.4% is all increase in prices.
Yeah, you know, those just the dollar amount of sales doesn't tell us anything. We need to know unit sales.
Right.
We need to know if some of the increase is due to a shift in the product mix to more expensive products or introduction of new products. So, yeah, when someone just reports the revenue, that's pretty worthless now.
Well, I mean, it's, the entire infrastructure that we used to have when we had a lot of inflation is essentially missing, right? I mean nobody comes out and says, Better World Books sold 20,000 more books than last year at an average price of 4% more than last year, like they used to do. So you really don't know. And then you've got a government, I think, that's working again. You're telling you the price of pickup trucks are even when they're not. You know, I mean, how can you really tell? I think a lot of it has to do with the tariff stuff has come at just the wrong time. I think we might have been slowing a little bit anyway. And I don't know if you blame that anybody or whatever, but I think we've got. You look at some of the numbers of like gambling down in Macau. I mean, you can tell people's shall we say money that they have to spend is down a little bit. S&P futures down 14. We'll be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Here, right now.
I'm just watching, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm just watching CNBC here, and they're talking about the wine of the year from Italy, and they're all drinking wine on the set, which is, we're not doing that, Kevin. Just what would you think about Kevin, Jay-Z, just briefly? Would you think he'd be like Belushi, wrong glass, sir? No, just fill it up, like in the movie. what a great scene. I'm trying not to talk about the market. S&P futures down 1875, Dow futures down 140, Nasdaq futures now down 87 and a quarter, so we're sinking. We're giving up well over half of yesterday's nice up move, first one we've had in a while. DAX down 5, call that flat. FTSE down 21. Down 0.3%, which isn't so much considering they're having nothing but trouble over there with this Brexit. I think this is a couple of month fight, Kevin. I don't think this is going to be done today. Do you? I mean, it sure look like it. Gekron down 10.2%. I think the market knows what to make of it over there. Nikkei down 123.6%. Shanghai up 10.4%. They're 26.79, so they're actually a bounce back. They were under 2,500 not that long ago. Hang Seng up 100, oh, I'm sorry, up 80.3%. They're back over 25,000, 26,183. So the Chinese markets, they've been going up and down pretty violently on virtually everything coming out of the White House or President Xi regarding these tariffs and whether we have some kind of an agreement. And yesterday they pull out all the stops. Everybody's talking, doing everything, and all of a sudden last night they came out and said, but guess what, we're not even close again. So we're doing this yin and the yang, and we want to be on that email loop, Kevin. We really do, and we're just not. Oil up 84 cents, 57.30. It's a 1.5% increase, but still way below 60. Brent up $1.13. That spread is now $10.45. Natural gas, after having a spike the other day at 450 something, is now down to 396. So it's gotten hammered the last couple of days. So it's been very, very volatile. We're back under $4. RBOB up 2 cents, 158. Home heating oil, 2.09. We got gold with a second day of a slight rally, up $1.70 to $12.16. Gold one week high with this Brexit thing. So, and silver is unchanged. So, Jay-Z, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
Thanks, Chief. Good morning, everyone. The time is now 6:37. Chicago is cloudy all day today. Today's high is 41 with a low of 32. Phoenix is partly cloudy this morning with a high of 76 and a low of 47. In football, the Seahawks beat the Packers 27-24. Bulls and Suns were both off. In hockey, the Coyotes beat the Predators 2-1. In traffic, there's an accident on the O'Hare extension on 90 West just before River Road, and a jackknife semi-crash blocking the two right lanes on the Indiana Toll Road just before the state line. Traffic is stopped, and that is all I have. Back to you.
The Kevin, when you ask about what causes economies to go one way or the other, there's always short-term stuff, and then there's kind of long-term stuff. And I'm not about to put this down as one of the reasons, but you can see where it's heading. It's an article on Marketplace. I saw another one yesterday. It's all over the place. Evidently, in the last couple of years now, we're up to $2.7 billion in the school security industry. And what was the thing in the I just had the word tip my tongue, and I forgot it. It's what happens when you this hour in the morning. What was the thing we were trying to do in the security industry where you're supposed to be only do stuff for the benefit of your clients? What was the word they used? You weren't supposed to charge for commissions on a trade because you're only doing the trade because you wanted to do it, not for it's good on your client.
I know what you're talking about. I don't know the word either.
And so I actually had a lunch with a client.
I probably do know some words that would be an apt description, but we can't say that.
Yes. So I had a client yesterday. We had lunch with him, and he says, what'd you think of all that stuff? And I said, well, it was all BS, basically. And he goes, well, what do you mean? You're supposed to be doing stuff for your client's best interest. And I said, I know that. I mean, I've always done that. I said, but if you take the logic to its logical extension, you could never go to the dentist and say you had a bum tooth, and the dentist would say, well, you need a filling, but now I can't do it. I gotta give you a prescription.
To refer you to
someone else to actually do it, because if I fill it, it means that the reason why I told you that is because I'm gonna make money by doing the filling. Or if you bring a tire in, you limp in, you got a leak in your tire, I can't fix it now. I told you, yeah, you do have a nail in there, but now I can't fix it. So here's a prescription to go to Joe's Tire across the street. And don't even talk to Joe. Just give us to his guy and say, you need a new tire. So, I mean, we've got this school security industry, and I was privy to some of these meetings, not in schools, but years and years ago, before 9/11, before any kind of stuff, at the CBOE, where various people would come in and make security presentations. Kevin, it is off the chart. You have no idea how much you need what they're selling without even thinking about it. If it's this kind of security system, it's a scanner system. Do you realize that anybody could drive through your front door with a truck? I never really thought of it, but yeah, I guess they could. God, you can't have that happen. What do you guys do exactly? We put up the concrete posts to stop trucks. Okay. I mean, and you have all over the country now, you have individual people. And I'm not saying that this isn't the way it should be. This is America. Making these kinds of decisions where we're spending money all over the place without knowing whether it's effective, not effective. And yesterday the one was some school system is going to put a big thing out to hire retired policemen. Retired now. So they're not still in training. They're not still going to the range or anything like that. There'll be school secretaries that'll make $50 more a day than a regular school secretary because they're going to be armed. Do you really want a bunch of 70-year-old guys in there with guns? Good Lord. I mean, not every single place.
Actually, maybe I do. I might trust them more than I trust
because, for
judgment purposes.
Well, that could be. What I'm saying is if this industry grows to $30 billion, $40 billion, what kind of a tax is it, again, on the system? I mean, I don't know whether TSA has stopped 40 planes from going down or none, and nobody knows. But I also know there is 58,000 people who work for TSA. And if the year is 25-25, like in the song, and no other plane went down, we're still going to have 60,000 people working for TSA. If we've killed every single... what they used to be. They were Al-Qaeda and others, somebody else. There's always going to be a gang. And all we do is slam the door. But these things, they become amazing drags on an economy, Kevin. I mean,
Well, they do, and part of the problem is, you know, that as we talk about it in the school industry, just to use one example, is that there's nothing wrong with it per se. I think there are some really good things that we can be doing to harden the security profile of our schools. The problem that we encounter is that everybody takes advantage of the government procurement process.
Yes.
and gouges the schools, which means they're gouging their neighbors. You know, frankly, that when you do that, you're not just bilking some nameless blob. You're taking the money out of the pockets of the people who live in the district. And that's the problem. That's the inefficiency. Otherwise, I don't have a problem with the industry. I think there are some really good things out there that people are doing to secure schools properly, and I'm all for it. If we can make the school shootings go away.
Well, as a matter of principle, and this is my concern on this stuff. And again, Kevin, I would not. If it was my kid, I'd probably be voting for it too. But there's always a lot of things going on in the world. Whenever people and you ask me questions about the market, I'm always going to give you five different answers because there's always four or five or ten things that I know about that are affecting the market, and there's probably another ten I don't. You know, there's a memo right now being written in the White House or in some committee or someplace that I don't know about, right? I mean, obviously, that's the case. That's why I want all my people to have puts and be protected. But my cousin used to sell ADP stuff, you know, home security. Mm-hmm. And if you actually pinned an ADP guy down after three adult beverages, they would say, it has nothing to do with making your house secure. It has to do with the burglar going to the house next door. When they see you have an ADP system.
That's why they're so strict about, you know, the signs and stickers.
Yeah.
They'll actually make you take them down if they are able to observe you displaying them without actually having being a subscriber.
So, and I guess what I'm saying is, if we know that as adults, that unless we secure all the schools, we really can't secure any of the schools. Or do we really want? I want my kids secure so everybody knows that St. John Fisher is got a moat around it and 15 sharpshooters on the roof. So in case anybody has any ideas, they're going to go over to St. Bernadette. I mean, is that really what we want happening in a society? You know, I don't know about that. You know, because if you just move down the block and kill the kids a mile away, did you waste your money? Probably. I guess they didn't waste it of your kids in St. John Fisher, but you know what I'm saying? When I see the Federal Reserve here spent literally millions and millions of dollars on security out in front of the place, you know, with these kinds of car things and everything, and yet regular people are walking into the place across the street like nothing ever happened, 9/11, I'm going to say the next guy is probably going to shoot the people across the street. If we've taken their money, we've made them more of a target because everybody else is protected and they aren't. Right, I mean, I'm saying that you can get squirrely with this, right? And I think we sort of are. I mean, because we don't know where we're going, and every district is spending money that they, you know, whatever they can grab out of people, they're spending. And you've got all kinds of experts telling you got to give me more. I mean, I can't. There's how many thousand school districts are in this country? This process can't be healthy. Do you think?
Well, I would suspect not. Like I said, you need school boards that are really good at the oversight and that are really going to spend the money wisely, because you don't have to do everything that the security analysts propose. You have to do what's appropriate for your school and what, you know, and frankly, this is one of those areas where
public's
got to get involved. If they don't keep an eye on what the school board is doing, then shame on them, because they're not, you know, they're not doing their diligence. They're going to get the government they deserve.
But regular people, I mean, this is a tough one. SP Futures down 19. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1 month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell. Mr. Kevin O'Neill and Jay-Z on the board. We're continuing to leak here. S&P futures down 1975, so we were up 28 yesterday, so we're not close to there yet, but we're a lot closer than we were a little while ago. Dow down 184, we were only up 228 yesterday, so we're inching there. NASDAQ down 86, so we're not exactly knocking them dead. Individual stocks this morning, we've got Apple down $1.50, Boeing down $1.50, Home Depot down almost 3, so those are the big movers in the Dow. Verizon down $1.34, so nothing huge, but not really good either. Kevin, what'd you do to the Irish the other night?
I jinxed them. All my fault. I shouldn't have gone to the game.
Those guys, are the guys any good? I mean, sometimes they are.
Well, yeah, Radford's good. They won 23 games last year, and it's a veteran team. So it's not a bad team, but it's still not a team, you know, like a Big South team should never beat an ACC team. It shouldn't happen. The Irish are kind of a mess at the moment, and I've never seen post game. I've never seen Mike Bray so exasperated, you know, because he sort of said, "Well, there's going to be more of these coming."
These guys
are just not meshing, and I think probably his biggest disappointment is that he has young guys, but he also has some veterans, and the veterans are not playing well. Mooney had a good game, but T.J. Gibbs and Rex Pfluger are not playing very well, and they're the captains. The young guys, yeah, I sort of get that they'll make mistakes, but they're not getting to the basket. They're shooting, almost 50% of their shots were three pointers in that game.
Sounds like a pro game.
Rays teams historically are in the 30-35% range, so I'm pretty sure he doesn't want them doing that. I'm pretty sure he wants them, you know, taking the ball to the hoop and getting to the free throw line like they did in their first game. I will tell you this: I would hate coaching that age group because they all think they can play, and in fact, they have a lot to learn.
All you got to do is watch a pro game. What percentage of those shots now are 3-point? 90? Not 90, but
well, you know, there's two. You know, statistically speaking, there's two shots that you should be taking. You should be taking 3-point shots. It's just that guys who are 0-for-7 should not be taking the eighth. I suppose you can have the attitude that I'm due, but maybe the problem is that is the first seven and the quality of the shots that they're getting. But the other one is at the rim, so you either should be taking shots very close to the rim by attacking and getting free throws and getting easy shots, or you should be at 3-point range. The mid range, statistically speaking, you know, hey, 2 points is 2 points, so take the mid-range jumper if it's there and it's wide open. But in general, you should be, you know, you shouldn't be working for those shots. You should be working either to get open threes or shots at the rim.
See, I think those stats are amazingly overblown. I mean, in the sense that now the other way, when all people are used to taking the threes and nobody takes the 15-footer, I think it's the fact that you're whatever you want to say is you're teaching to the statistics, you're reinforcing the statistics. I mean, you're not going to have a Chet Walker to work the 15-foot one-on-one move, yet I think you'd still want a Chet Walker. You know, I'm just saying.
Well, you do want a Chet Walker, but also remember Chet Walker played before there was a three-point shot.
So did I. Just saying.
But, I mean, point being, when you see someone take a shot two steps in front of the three-point line, you know, the probability of making the shot is not much. Is not much greater than taking it as a three.
But the
payback for it, the payoff for it, is a point less. So if you do that over the course of a game, it may have an outcome.
Assuming your footwork.
And the Irish women are coming to Chicago, though. They're going to be playing DePaul tomorrow.
That's cool.
So Jay-Z should get out there to the game.
But, what time? I actually got to go to a wedding tomorrow, of all things.
I think it's at 2 o'clock, I believe.
It's kind of when the wedding is. It's right down the block from me. I would like to go.
DePaul's always a tough game for them. Yeah. They play every year, and DePaul always plays them really well. First of all, DePaul's pretty good, and Doug Bruno's a really good coach. But that's always a challenging game.
All right, Kevin.
So they have UConn coming up in a few weeks here in South Bend, but tomorrow they're in Chicago.
And they're coming off the national championship.
And they are coming off a national championship, and with pretty much all of those players back, plus most of the injured players back too.
All right, Kevin, are we calling a top on the market here? I mean, all of a sudden Kramer from saying he should be buying everything, now he's hedging. We've got a lot of people. I think we need to resolve this China thing very quickly. I don't know if we're ever going to get it the way we want it, but I think that we've blown this one up, and I don't think we know what the solution is at this point. Do you? I think they need to do better on the intellectual property. I think we need a list here of things you can't give other people, or else the crime is here, not there. I don't know how many things would be on that list. I'm not privy to defense systems and things like that absolutely nobody else has but us. I mean, you probably know more about that than me, or certainly Lou would. But I mean, I think there needs to be a list of things you can't give other people. I mean, you can't give other people how your battleship guns worked in 1938. I mean, it's the same thing, right? You do it and expect people to obey the law and to use common sense. And, if we don't, we're always going to have somebody who's going to want to sell something. I think you throw them in jail. What else? But this whole idea that
lack of common sense gets us legislation.
Pretty much. But the whole idea that we're going to somehow make these guys genuflect the stuff that they took 20 years ago. Let's put it this way. Even if we were wrong, we wouldn't do that in principle. And neither will they, probably. You know, it's just, but the last thing you want is to give everybody around here, when you've seen concentrated industries, the last thing you want to do is give them excuse to raise prices. Where all of a sudden, the medical group that now there's four hospitals in Chicago, hey, guess what? We got to raise prices because of, A, because we can, but B, because some products that are coming from overseas and all of it terrifying, which I don't think is in the medical community, but, maybe. I mean, so that's what people are doing in every other industry. Are you seeing it in any of the classes you give to a lot of classes to adults, right? Are you hearing anybody's
yep.
businesses, all of a sudden their supply chain, the prices are going up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely they are. And, it just depends on what percentage of the content they are as to how significant the impact is. So, do we think, for instance, if you take, RVs, there's a significant hit there. But if you're going to drop, $110,000 on it, does it matter if it's $115,000?
Therein lies the rub, Kevin. When people talk about this, and even I get axed, in an emporium. So, how are these prices going to go up? I have to say, Kevin, our economic knowledge, our teachings will tell you, every single product is different. The price of steel in the box of nails that cost $6 is up 10 cents. Some people might say, God, business has been slow lately. We can't raise the price of these at all. We're just going to have to eat the 10 cents, right? Or somebody's going to say, man, these nails have been flying off the shelf. Everybody must be working on their house. Why don't we try 680? See if we can get away with it. You know what I'm saying? Everyone is different.
Well, but the bigger problem is that let's say we get it resolved and the tariffs go away. Are we really going to put prices back where they were?
I'm going to say, just to be obtuse, in some cases when we went too far, we'll use that as an excuse to bring them back down. If we doubled them instead of raised them 10%, and guess the way we got away with it? We're not bringing them back down, right?
That's right. Yep.
So we've given everybody, let's put it this way, a free shot to experiment. Is that a way to put it?
It could be.
And in some places, guess what? They went too far. Where somebody, you know, at some point, you know, even I, you know, because, you know, time's important to people. At some point, even I will say, I'm not paying $8 a box for nails at Home Depot. I'm going to go online and get them for $5. But I'm not going to go online and get them for $7.60, right, when I'm standing right there in front of the damn thing, right? So there's a limit to how much you can push this, right? I mean, every these places that have, well, how many products do you think these places have, Kevin? Like 100,000? They're doing this every day at every product. SP Futures down 18. Buddy, you got a game this weekend, or you know the guys aren't playing at home?
No, the Irish are playing Syracuse in Yankee Stadium, for football, yeah. And they're playing somebody in basketball tomorrow. William and Mary, so okay. You know, hopefully they'll bring out mostly Marys and not as many Williams.
Okay. All right, well, have a nice weekend, buddy. I'm sure we'll talk during the game. Thank you very much. SP Futures down 19 still. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTIsecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@PTIsecurities.com. That's JOHN@PTIsecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Here, right now, right here, right now,
right now. Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen. She's Jay-Z on the board. S&P Futures now down 1650. We've come back a little bit. We're down 19, but we're still down a chunk. Dow down 131, and we got S&P futures. NASDAQ futures down 72. I saw them down as low as 87. Do we have Mr. Fari on the line here?
Good morning from sunny and warm, about 72 degrees, Florida.
We are freezing up here.
But this is SWFL. I'm sorry, Southwest Florida. Sir, I just have a quick update, and the reasoning. I'm going to be done because I got to run. I got to make more shekels.
You going jagging?
Terrific week. Yesterday was an unusual movement toward the end of the day. About, I don't know, 1:30, 2 o'clock on. It went the other way. That's fine. 1:30, I think it went out. I'm sorry. Yeah, 1:30 went the other way. We're back down again. Ross made a comment with Ross about the trade. This trade, as Jack Moore said, is not going to be solved ahead of bubble. It's not going to be solved in 1 day or 2 days. We didn't get here overnight. We're not going to solve it.
Well, I think they're probably
right. He made a comment that it will be 20 years to be fixed, but forget about that. Here's what I see. Late last night, two issues. If you monitor all channels, you know, this is advice to Trumpkins. Don't just put your head in the sand and shove it deep. Try to listen to all sides, the truth somewhere in between. The MSNBC reported, NBC reported, I don't know if it was on Fox or not. I didn't see it. They're going after Assange. It leaked out that they are doing that, that the DOJ has already been doing it. It came out in a different file. Secondly, more important than that, what they filed with Manafort late last night on his case that was agreed on both sides says they want 10-day reprieve because they need 10 days for other things that are going to be happening. And they will go his sentencing the status conference to go to November 26th. If you understand anything about the law and how this thing works, and I'm not an expert, but I've been around a lot of lawyers. I understand the sort of things. I follow them. That says the next week is Thanksgiving. I think tonight is going to be a big one for Mueller. And you got three choices there: Stone, Jared, and Don Jr. I'm not sure about Jared yet. But I think Stone is a big choice here, and possibly even Don Jr. If that happens, with the issues on what we are down now, the comments on the trades, listen, the techs and chips were hit hard overnight. Monday could be a big day down. Big day down. With that said, I'm done. Any questions?
Your buddy Kramer says CEOs are telling
you about Kramer.
Telling him off the record.
He belongs to Comedy Central.
I understand.
You know what I think of people on Comedy Central.
The comment is...
The exception could be this guy, Michael Santoli.
The comment was, CEOs are telling him off the record the economy has quickly cooled. I've been kind of sensing that in the last 6 weeks.
Oh, really? Tico said that when the transformation index sold first. Tico said that in beginning of February. What are you talking about?
I'm saying the question is, I've sensed that in the last 6-8 weeks as well. I didn't know if I was right or wrong.
No, you're dead right because you've been talking to me. Advice of counsel to you.
Question
also
is,
look at the retest of that hypothesis.
I'm not
go to your charts. See where down S&P peak versus when
I'm not talking.
This is like a double top. Remember?
Hey,
September 2000?
My friend, I'm not talking market. I'm talking economy. Question is why?
No. I know, but the market is a discounting mechanism, my friend.
Well, it's supposed to.
That's what it's supposed to do.
Yep.
It's the best discounting mechanism man or woman has ever built. It gives you an advanced look of 6 months forward.
All right. Well, hey, but go get them today. We'll talk to you next Wednesday, and
Thursday. I'm on Thursday.
No, you're not. Next week's
Wednesday would be extra. If you want me on Wednesday,
Thursday would be Thanksgiving. We're not on Thanksgiving. So
have a good weekend.
All right, we'll fit you
stay
in someplace.
Short.
All right.
Stay short.
Okay. Do we have Audrey?
Morning.
Morning. Can you follow Fari? Can you do that?
No, I had the dogs outside, so I only caught them yelling, stay short.
Yes, maybe that's the best part. But no, he was in it. It's like Ed Sullivan coming on after but Fari's the best. Hey, how are you?
Too much drama for me in the morning.
Oh, yeah. So does this officially break the two female rule, or the fact that you're on the phone, it's okay?
Hey, you already have a fabulous female there, so you're lucky you got two now.
Oh God, you're ganging up on me already. hey, I have a question for you. I mean, one, we want to talk a little bit about real estate business and how you're doing. But by the way, since I can't find anybody else, you're going to be my expert on what's going on in California with these. What I'm saying is are they going to let people build those houses back again?
Well, somebody owns the land. It's going to be hard to tell somebody no. The question is, are they going to be able to afford it? And the insurance company is going to cover them. I think that's your question.
Well, it's like any place else.
You rebuilt in New Orleans. You're going to rebuild in the Carolinas. So where are you going to tell people they're not going to be able to live in Malibu again?
Well, I'm wondering, do you think they're going to do something like the flood insurance program if they think the places are high risk for fires?
I don't know, but I think that... unfortunately, with the building of the area, which is, not naturally have a lot of water, sometimes all this is just coming home to roost, and then you've got idiots with campfires. So, to overbuilding, not enough water, too many people, throw some stupidity on top of it, and, you've got a great mix.
Yeah, explain to everybody, because you know way better than me. Because I'm thinking, how does the flood insurance thing work? I was reading something.
I wish I knew all the ins and outs, but it's some of it. FEMA's maps. I've actually learned something that I didn't know a couple of weeks ago. There's always flood zones, and then there's the 50-year flood zones and 100-year flood zones. How often they think it works, and there the maps are zoned accordingly, and then also priced accordingly. But the flood insurance is so expensive, even on your average little bungalow. For example, in our area, Justice has several flood zones. And on a little 1,500-square-foot bi-level home, the insurance is coming in at almost $3,000 a year. Now, not too many people are going to willingly take that on. So, it devalues the house itself dramatically. And a lot of these have never flooded for years. Some of the maps, should probably be redone. You have to appeal to FEMA. It takes a long time. But I learned something that I did not know. I knew there were flood zones. However, we had found one house that a client of mine was thinking about buying and rehabbing, and it's in a flood way. I'm like, you mean a flood zone?
What's
like,
a flood way?
A flood way, which apparently is the worst of all possible flood things. Which means that it's the highest risk, apparently. So I learned something too about it. It's very hard. And a lot of these places have not flooded forever, and the people are still being socked with this huge insurance bill, which of course makes it difficult for resale too.
Well, from what I did some of the history on it. Does this sound right to you? It is in the '60s. They had these areas that had. And the federal government, in return, essentially for setting up the insurance program, where you actually get that from the Fed, right? And because it was a sort of the same time that Fannie and Freddie were popping up, and you were getting these government guaranteed mortgages, right? They essentially made a deal with all the states and said, if you guys go out and put together these maps that you're talking about, the 100-year flood, the 50-year flood, and actually designate the areas that are in danger, we'll come in and help with the insurance in the part in the places that are in danger, because we want, if we're going to guarantee these mortgages, we want to make sure that they're insured, or else we can't guarantee them. It sounds is sort of the way it got started,
mm-hmm.
which I guess makes some sense, because before then, you would never even know if you were in a flood zone, because the states, unless they did it on their own, the states would not be required. I mean, right now, when you go buy a house, and you're the real estate person, and odds the best, by the way, they're going to ask you, is it in a flood zone? You can say yes or no. I'm thinking before 1968, when this bill came forward, you couldn't say that. You'd say, I don't know. It right. looks pretty close to the river to me, but I'm not sure, right? I mean, it would have been your answer mm-hmm. in 1962. But right. now, the answer is, whether or not it'll flood or not, you have no idea, but you do know that it's in a flood zone or not, correct?
Correct, right.
And so I guess the question is not whether these people in California get their insurance money. I think they're going to, assuming the insurance companies don't, you know, go out of business. Whether they ever get their power back, I don't know. Have you been reading about Pacific PP&G, that they don't have, yes. they don't think they have enough money to review all these lines and everything? Which is
isn't
very possible. Yeah. And that somebody is accusing them of starting it, which would be even worse. So you got all those problems. Now the question is, the insurance company is going to say, okay, well, here's your $1 million for your house. If you build it again, you're on your own. Well, I'm not selling you any more insurance here. I used to insure 4,000 houses. Now I'm going to insure 40. You know, if everybody pulls out to that extent, I mean, you might end up
Florida. I mean, some places are either cost a fortune or uninsurable in Florida. So
right.
I guess you're going to take your risk. I would not be surprised if there's some pretty big strings attached when they go back and do all this, because, if the insurance company here or if the power company goes belly up, what are you going to do? Bring somebody else in?
Well,
of course, there's always somebody to fill the void.
Sure.
Or let's make California sustainable, as, you know, they're big on that stuff anyway out there.
There's a shot. Shot fired, you know, to the poor California people. You think that was fair, Jay-Z? To shoot at the poor California people when they're down? They're either getting flooded or getting fired out. I mean, it's not a bad, not a good place.
Well, the thing with the fire is it's difficult, but, you know, then if you're going to build it, then I think it would be similar to people building hurricane-proof houses, hurricane glass, that you're going to build a fire-resistant house with a fire-resistant roof. But there's that one guy out there that built a fire-resistant house, and he was the only one still standing. So if you build it, you build it with certain building restrictions, possibly, then.
Well, but if that kind of heat comes by, everything inside's wrecked. Everything, even if it's fire-resistant, it might be standing, but I bet it's not livable. Just saying.
Well, I don't know. I think it's a tough call. It's some of the most beautiful real estate in the world, obviously.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
Well, but you get dry weather and droughts and brush and people jammed together where it was nothing but nature for it. You know, fire is nature's way of cleansing normally. You know, so those are periodic wildfires, whether some idiot camper sets it up or not. So, you're rolling a risk anytime you live anywhere.
Well,
in a wooded area.
Just on the flood insurance stuff, if for whatever reason you're not in a flood plain, you're up high enough, what if you were to say, you know what, the way this weather's going, I'm not so sure. I mean, I went back in the 100-year weather events in Chicago, stuff that, you know, nobody else does. And out of the top 10 or 20 weather events, there's only been a couple that were rain. The rest were cold or snow or 10 days in a row below zero. Those were the weather events that affected people more than anything else. I think in 100 years they've been doing this, or 120, the world's biggest, the Chicago world's biggest rain event was like something like 15, 16 inches over a three-day period. So, I mean, it's a lot, but it happened like once. And it wasn't the entire area. It was somewhat localized. It was near O'Hare or whatever. It was the night we were still on a trading floor. The night they got 9 inches on a Friday night or whatever. Remember all the idiots from the OEX who were trying to make it to Vegas and never got there? Because the L was flooded, the expressway was closed, and everything else. So they never made it
sure.
to anyway, but I mean, but you have to ask the question, what if that number, instead of 16 inches over a 24-hour period or three-day period, what if it was, you know, 12 inches over a 24-hour period? I'm going to say that all these maps are now no good. Okay, right? I mean, I have to believe that. That right now, as you could tell me more than I will tell you, there's flood zones where the guy across the street is in the flood zone and you're not, right? I mean, that's how definitive they are.
Right.
But what if you were a person across the street and said, I don't believe this stinking map, and the way this weather's changing, I want some flood insurance on my place. What does a rider cost to a normal homeowner's policy? Or do they come out and look to see what your where your house is? And if you're close to a flood zone, is it more?
Flood insurance is extremely expensive.
But if you're not in a flood zone, is it?
Yes. It's still expensive.
Okay.
Yeah. As anybody who has homeowner's insurance will tell you that that's gone up dramatically. And to put a flood rider on top of something unnecessarily is something most people are just not going to do.
But a normal policy, say you had a two-story house and you go to Europe for a month and you come back and it turns out the sink is leaking for a month and all your stuff's wrecked, that's a flood, but that you're covered for, right?
That's not a flood. That's a household occurrence.
Ah, okay. See, that's what I'm learning here. Okay. That's why I'm asking the questions. So if a flood is water from the outside coming in, which is different from the Chicago flood where water comes up your drain, right? So that's another different thing. That's not a, you can get a rider for that.
Yeah, then it's a sewer, you know, it's a sewer. Who knows? I mean, you've got nature, and then you've got accidents, you know, like a guy punching a hole in Chicago River that time. So, you know, is that considered a flood? Is that considered, you know, an accident? I don't even know. But, I mean, who collected under what? I bet somebody else, some of the listeners might know that.
So if you were in the highest spot in the area, and it would take, you know, a Noah-style flood to get to you, and you say, for some stupid reason, I want flood insurance, they're going to ding you pretty high, even if you're in the middle of the desert.
Sure.
Really? Okay.
Why not?
Well,
I don't see why not.
Well, I don't either, but I mean,
ask an insurance person, but one time it's sometimes, I don't even know if you can buy, you know, it's an interesting question. I've asked one of my insurance buddies. I'm not sure if you could even get it if you don't need it or if it's priced so high, but I say why buy something? I think we're all so insured, let's not even mess with something we don't need. But it does dramatically hurt property values in the area, unless somebody's buying cash, paying cash for a house, and they're just going to stay there. But, I mean, look at the areas in, like, Riverside, that's in a beautiful spot in Chicago along the river, the Splains River, or and Salt Creek, where that all flows through there. That floods all the time.
Yeah.
And people there have to have flood insurance. Does it deter some of those people from living there? No, because it's beautiful and those homes are occupied. But, you know, even last year, I believe, when we had a big flood, a lot of those people's homes flooded.
What Audrey's talking about is,
I can't imagine what they're paying.
What Audrey's talking about is I think, something rather unique to Chicago in the sense that the Splains River Valley is incredibly wide. The river is 25 feet wide there, right? Maybe.
Probably more than that there.
Right, say 30. But it's not the Mississippi. But
no.
But when it floods, if it goes from 3 feet to 8 feet,
the river banks are not high.
The you're so flat that water will run a mile.
Yeah.
It's not like it's, you know, the house next to the river, you know, gets flooded and nobody else. I mean, the whole area is in the valley.
Yeah, it's a whole low-lying area.
And
and the whole bit. So, and Riverside is a beautiful town. So, it's again, you want to. Again, it's your choice as a homeowner.
Yeah.
You're going to live, you know, someplace where there's hurricanes, floods, fires. You know, and then you're obviously going to have to foot the bill for the risk.
So, if I live in one of those houses, do I write two checks, one to Allstate or State Farm for my regular homeowners, and then I write one to the government for the flood?
You write it to your insurance company. You get insurance through your insurance company.
So they have the government.
Like, if I needed flood insurance from my company, then I would just write another check to them.
Okay, so it's, but the government is backing up that other policy, not State Farm.
I have no idea, to tell you the truth.
I think I can answer that, yes.
I imagine there's some kind of intertwining there, but
yeah.
How much goes to who, I don't know.
Yeah, I think the government overwrites that somehow. Hey, our buddy Kramer, I don't know if he's so much of a buddy, says that the economy has quickly cooled off. What are you seeing? You still got all kinds of people buying, but have you noticed that at all, Vaughn, or what?
No. My problem is I have a lot of buyers and nothing to sell them. Right now, it's an interesting phenomenon that some of my realtor friends and I were talking about, which is very, very different than a few years ago. Buyers nowadays, and whether it's from a sensory overload of too much HGTV, if the house is not perfect, or if it at least doesn't have the designer stainless appliances and a fancy backsplash and the hardwood floors, they don't want it. The people now, I don't know if people don't haven't grown up learning to fix, but people just want something that is move-in ready. Now, they'll overlook bad windows, a bad roof, maybe a leaky basement, but if it's got that pretty kitchen and pretty bath, they're going to sign up for it. So the whole idea of looking for the good bones to make it the kind of house that you want, very few people are signing up for, whether it's a time crunch or if our new group of people coming up like Matt, who, you know, never learned how to swing a hammer and fix things. They either want to pay somebody to do it or they want it move-in ready. So you get people that are just, if it's not fixed up, they're going to pass it right by. So, and also it seems another new phenomenon is you're not getting as many low offers. They just simply, they don't, if they think it's too high, they just simply keep going. So it's kind of an interesting thing that I've seen going on in our neck of the woods. It'd be interesting if other parts have seen that. You've got, obviously, your figure builders and your fixers and your rehabbers, but the average person out there seems to approach things a little differently than they used to. It's very interesting.
You notice, J.D., that she took a shot at poor Matt and not you with the female binding that's going on here?
Well, I know how Matt is. You know, yes. We don't want Matt to hurt himself with a hammer and a screwdriver.
the guy's getting beat up, but he's not even here, for God's sake.
I love Matt dearly, but I know how he is.
I remember when I first met him, he goes, "Chief, you got to understand, all the stuff that guys are supposed to know, I don't know. You got to have to teach me because I didn't have a father, basically." And
yeah, that's it. If nobody taught you, that's the thing. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I had parents, both of my parents were handy, but my dad could fix anything, and thank God I learned how to do a lot. So, you know, if you're going to be a homeowner, you have to learn how to do some things because you can't hire everything out. You know, I have one client now that the inspector told him he needed to have a door caulked, and he goes, "Oh my God, what do I do?" I said, "Well, you know," he says it's going to cost $100. I said, "Caulk is $5. You could go get a caulk gun for another five or ten. "Oh, I don't know." I'm like, "Okay, if you could squeeze a tube of toothpaste and draw your finger in a straight line, you too can caulk." But they're just overwhelmed by the simple things. So it's, again, not being exposed to anything, and that it is changing how they look at houses. You know, they don't feel like they want to do it. They either want to pay somebody to do it or they want it perfect. You know,
well, that's why anybody who's somewhat of a handyman has nothing but work now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you could learn how to fix it. There's so many retired people out my way that make a good living by fixing a screen door, you know, changing a light fixture, you know, caulking doors, making simple repairs because people either don't have the tools, don't know how, or just a plain don't want to. So there's a niche for people. I have people all the time asking me, "Hey, do you have a good handyman?" I have a list of things to do.
Now, first of all, you're from Chicago. Do you got a guy? Is the real?
You got a guy. You gotta have a guy.
You gotta have a guy.
You gotta have several guys.
You gotta have several guys. So Jay-Z, do you think your young female set that most of the fathers like Odds made her change the tire on the car before he let her get the license?
Can you repeat the question?
Her dad made her change a tire in front of her to prove she knew how to do it before he let her get her license. Do you think most girls do that now?
Oh, no way. Although my dad does make me, like, check the oil and stuff on my car.
Well, that's pretty good.
Very good. That's excellent. Yeah, I had to do all that stuff. And you know what? It just keeps you safe. And yeah, I think everybody should learn the basics, even if you have a general idea. Then you also just don't get ripped off when you go out to pay somebody to do something for you.
Yeah, for sure.
So
and it's not that hard.
It's really not.
Well, is the regulations regarding more... people doing closings and things like that, have any of those lightened up, or at least have not gotten worse? Because I think the current administration has tried to pull back a little of that stuff. It's kind of hard to do, but has at least not gotten worse in the last couple of years?
No, it's okay. We have a new rule that's come in that buyers have to get 3 days, get their paper, final closing number of paperwork 3 days before closing to review.
Review from who?
Yeah, that's been going on for a while. So that's been, at first they thought it was, oh my God, it's going to be bad. So instead of us being able at the last minute to get a clear to close from the bank on a Tuesday and closing on a Wednesday, we now have to factor in an extra 3 days.
But who's making these rules?
Well, who do you think's making the rules?
Well, I mean, is that so if a bank decides I'll change it that morning, who says they can't do it? The government?
Change what? Well, you know, it's supposed to be like, it's like a fair lending. You're getting to see your closing figures early, not just, you know, you get, when you first go in, you get an early, you get your first list where it says your preliminary closing figures. And what they was afraid was happening, it was kind of like a bait and switch. Later, people go, well, I didn't sign up for, you told me closing was going to be 4,000 and now it's 8,000. Why is that? Now you have a right to look at it and dispute the figures.
I think you know, this is the oddest thing. The people that make these rules, I just wonder, who are the rule makers? Everybody's got an attorney, for God's sake. Why can't they just figure it out themselves like they always did?
Well, you know what? Illinois is actually an interesting thing. Everybody pretty much has their attorney for closing in Illinois. You know, in Indiana, people don't use attorneys for closings pretty much.
Yeah, but why is it different state to state? It just difference in
habits? Everybody just has their own thing. So in Indiana, nobody brings a lawyer to closing pretty much. Title company does the closing figures and they close.
No difference in amount of them that go awry? Probably not.
Probably not. I would never go to a closing without my attorney, but that's just me.
All right, give us a shameless plug. How do people find you?
Oh, you can give me a call at 708-846-6494. That's my direct cell. Or you can shoot me an email at audreyjohnson@realtor.com.
All right, thank you very much. Helped out a lot. SP Futures now down 20. Dow Futures on 157. We're leaking. NASDAQ Futures down 86. Be right back. Stacks and Jacks. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs. Interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort. Some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. It might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456, or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, Nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tim Mouse. He's Jay Z on the board, handling things quite well this morning. Plus, you seem a lot more awake than when I first saw you this morning. Is that the truth?
Well, that's what coffee does to you.
Yes. we're taking on water here. S&P futures down on 22.75, which is the low of the morning. Dow down 178, NASDAQ down 96. So we're giving up damn near all of yesterday at this point, maybe 75-80% of it. I mean, it may not stay that way, but right now it is. Over in Europe, we've got these guys are creeping down now as well. They weren't the last time we did this an hour ago. DAX down on 65.6%. FTSE down 51.7%. CAC around down 29.6%. So they've all dropped, let's say, at least a half a percent since in the last hour. Renege, we got the Nikkei. These guys haven't moved because they're closed. Nikkei down 123.6%. Shanghai up 10.4%. Hang Seng up 80.3%. So they're still probably going under the... we might have some kind of a deal story, but that seems to have changed. Again, we've got oil up 96 cents now, 57.42, so it's almost 2%, but still under 60 after that $4.50 move the other day. It's going to take a while for that to come back. Brent up 129, the spread is now $10.50. Natural gas 4.15, so it's up 11 cents in the last hour. It was under $4 last time we reported. So that's, we were 2 years not having this thing move 11 cents, and now it's moved 11 cents between the hours here. RBOB up 2 cents, 1.58. That's still pretty low. Home heating oil, 2.09. And we've got gold up 270, silver unchanged. JZ, what do you got as traffic weather sports?
Thanks, Chief. Good morning, everyone. The time is now 7:35. Cloudy here in Chicago today. Today's high 41, low of 32. Phoenix is partly cloudy with a high of 76, low of 47. In football last night, the Seahawks beat the Packers 27-24. Bulls and Suns both off. In hockey, the Coyotes beat the Predators 2-1. And in traffic, there is still a jackknifed semi causing stopped traffic over on the Indiana Toll Road state line. But other than that, nothing else to report. Back to you.
John, how are you?
Doing good. Yourself?
Doing good. You're going to have to make sense of all this stuff. Fari says stay short. It looks like blip. And we've got S&P chart pattern points to a breakout ahead, another technician says. Are we looking at the same chart? Goldman Sachs says the stock market isn't buying official growth trends. Kramer says CEOs are telling him off the record the economy has quickly cooled. So there's four opinions right there for you. Which one's right?
None and all of them.
There you go. Which one's right? Yes. They're all right. But they're all different. No, they're all right.
Yep.
So what the hell's going on, bud?
None at all. And, you know, more of the same today. Yeah, I mean, yesterday we totally, you know, turned around and had a nice push towards the end there. And then this is what we get, you know, now. So, I mean, we're up off the lows this morning. So, I mean, who knows? Who knows, Tom?
Yeah, we're not up off much. I had the S&P's down 22. Did you have them lower than that? I had a lower on 27.12. Did you have them? This 27.11, 27.10 number has been very key for just about everybody that's come on the show in the last month, Jan. Whether we'll hold it, we went below it, and we came back above it, which was somewhat bullish, and now we're struggling to hang on to it. I mean, does that? I'm not much of a technician. Is that still? Well, I know it's a number. Is it a big number? Or when you go back and forth it so many times, does it become not a big number? I'm not a chart dude. Are you?
Well, it's, you know, I mean, basically what we're talking about is what they're looking for is that hopefully, you know, it builds a base and, you know, comes off of the base and, you know, and I do a bit of charting myself and that's what it looks like, you know, to me is that, at this point in time, you know, it's building a base. But, you know, you can break a, you know, base, or you could, you know, break that pattern too. So it's, you know, we just have to see what happens. I mean, you know, but it is at levels that are pretty, pretty important, to be honest with you. You know, if you have much of a move down, you know, then you could have a, another big leg down if you follow me.
Well, that's what Fari's predicting, and he's looking for some political events over the weekend, but, you know, predicting that is tough. He's been all over this Mueller thing, and he thinks somebody else is going to get named. I've not followed it that closely because, to be perfectly honest, John, I mean, the stuff is not really all that tradable unless you're the guy getting the memo, and we're just not. You know, so, I mean, it's hard for me or you to, you know, I'll tell you what, it's hard enough to trade oil when you don't know that eight countries, can still trade with Iran when everybody else is being told that Iran's going to be down to a teaspoonful of oil a day they're going to be able to export. No, it turns out that's all wrong. Well, hell, it took oil down, 20% from top to bottom? Or, you know, thank God we had puts and rolled them down. Now the things come back up. We actually can make money on the deal, but it's not what. I mean, hell, if I knew the thing that XLE was going to go from, 75 down to 64, wherever the hell it did, I sure as hell would have been a lot easier than just having puts. I just would have bought all kinds of puts or something, right? I mean.
Right. Well, yeah, and I did the same. I accidentally, made money, on the puts on some of these things. So, and obviously that's why we have them on. We don't know exactly up, down, or indifferent where all these things are going to go, so.
It
kind of is what it is.
I will say that, and this, I don't know if I can prove this, Jan. I probably could, but I don't know how long it would take me. I'd have to be a professor and have like, five or six really good economic students like Jay-Z doing all this stuff instead of going to parties and going to, sorority stuff to sit there scratching out economic statistics for me. What do you think, Jay-Z? Working on her PhD.
Definitely.
Yeah, she'd love to do that. I'm going to say that the news before this guy got in office, and this is not a shot or anything, it's just an observation. The news before he got in office, you traded the Fed. They were the, every one of these Fed guys' statements turned markets. And, the Fed meetings, all there always was some kind of a move. Since he's been in office and we started doing this tariff war and stuff, all the political announcements that have moved the market have come out of mostly all the White House, a couple Fed and a couple Congress. But mostly all the White House. It's been a, I don't know, one's better or worse. I'm just observing there's been a change. Let's put it this way. 4 years ago, I wanted the Fed speeches before they came out in the middle of the night. Now I don't care about them, or else they're not traveling as much. They haven't moved the market at all. Now I want
right.
Wilbur Ross's next, BS thing about the market, or whether they're going to bring Larry Kudlow out or Munchkin or somebody. I mean, Mnuchin. I want that memo, and I don't care about the Fed. So I'm just saying it's changed. I'm not getting it either way, right? So, but is my observation nuts, or are you seeing the same thing?
No. I totally agree with you, and that's why this stuff is so hard to trade. I wholeheartedly agree with that statement. So hyper, sensitive, to these type of things, and it's hypersensitive to exactly what you're saying too.
Well, I mean, the difference in the market valuation in the next 2 hours between a heightened trade war and a truce and a solved trade war is pretty friggin' dramatic.
Right.
And we flip back and forth on that subject. It's like a ping pong game. And you and I are the net. right? I mean, the ball's whizzing back and forth. The only thing we've got going for us is that we understand it's happening and we have people locked up. And if it turns out we make money on the puts and everything at the end of the year is the same, you know what? It still spends, John. It's not the way we designed it, but it still spends.
Yeah. No. Our insurance is paying off right now.
Yeah, and for 8 years it didn't. Now all of a sudden that's where all the money is, right? It's crazed. I mean, it just changes. And I had an interview with a potential client yesterday, and he says, "Well, how come you didn't do this plan for a bunch of time?" I said, "Because the calls and puts didn't line up, and I'm not going to put somebody in a plan I don't think is going to work." And negative interest rates. and markets that just crept up is not a protected index program environment. But now I think this is a serious protected index program environment. And right now I think it's getting more by the day, to be honest with you. So, and I said, now the phone is kind of ringing off the hook. And he goes, well, you didn't do it for like 5 years. I go, I know. I said, we did it in some areas, and you know, in some commodities and individual stocks. I said, but if somebody dropped me $1 million a year ago or 2 years ago, I didn't just put it right in our program but now I would have no hesitation doing that. And I think that's where people should be. You need to be protected here, John, I think. I mean, I suppose there's going to come a day when all of a sudden the market may just go right back up again, but I don't see it happening for a while here. And even if it does, it's okay. Just don't sell as many calls. You know, just leave the upside open a little bit.
Right. I mean, this volatility we're getting, plays into our hands, is the point.
Obviously, if all of a sudden tomorrow, or whenever it is G20 is, both sides declare victory, nothing changes in the Chinese situation, I'm going to say we're up, 3-4% on the news over the next few days, and that's what everybody's worried about, is the spin to the upside. In the meantime, it looks like every time we get a lower low, right? I mean, meantime, the downside don't look so hot. So that's, therein lies the rub. I mean, this morning I've got one stock up in the Dow in pre-market. There's a few that haven't opened yet, but the only stock that's up is Chevron, because oil's up 90-some cents. ExxonMobil's actually down on the day, is it down or unchanged? Let me find it here. It's unchanged, or hasn't opened yet, but that I've seen a trade. So, I mean, right now it looks lousy, John. I mean, we've got Boeing down 259. I mean, I'm surprised it's hanging in there. That's what shows you when you're a monopoly. Are they going to come off unscathed on this plane or what? What do you think is going to happen there? This one that went down.
I have no idea, Tom. No idea.
Nobody's grounded them, but would you fly on one? I'd be a little nervous. I suppose I would, but I don't know. I'd rather be on some other brand at this point, or some other number.
Oh, no question. I mean, would I fly on one? I mean, absolutely not, but what's going to happen, who knows, so.
So you're like the guy in Rain Man, you're only going to fly Qantas because they never had a crash? Remember that?
Yeah.
Dustin Hoffman.
Well, it definitely makes you think about it, and, at a minimum, be nervous all day long, all flight long. I would definitely go away from it.
Right, so right now,
something else.
I'm gonna put you on the spot, Jen. Right now, some Daddy Warbucks walks into Jan Neal at PTI West out in Glendale, and hey, buddy, here's 10 mil. I want you to manage it for me. I want to be protected. How fast do you put it to work? And if you end up doing anything today, how much would you do today, and what would you put it in?
What would I put it in? I think I'd start putting some of it to work in some of the broad-based indexes, Russell, something along those lines. I think I'd start to ease into that a little bit. I definitely would do the GDX, because I think going along with all that, or some of the precious metals along those lines. I think I'd look at probably the finance component. I'd probably look at the biotech component, things like that.
Why do you think the XLF has been such a dog this year to banking? Because it seems like these guys are pretty healthy. I mean, they've got it set up where they make more money than God, and yet the darn thing can't move. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's almost kind of like the same theory of with our precious metals and things like that. I mean, we're waiting. I know, the precious metals haven't had much of inflation. I mean, there's some other variables there. But, once again with them, I just think it's a matter of time. I mean, they're making more money, ever so slightly interest rates are going up. They're sure, kicking us in the pants, giving us pennies on the thousands, not even on the dollar, but pennies on the thousands. And, making it on the other side, people's interest rates for their credit cards and their mortgages have gone up.
Yeah.
Things of that. Now, the only thing, one of the things in there is because of interest rates going on, maybe there's the worry that they're going to be doing less loans, and you know who knows, you know how that is, but that would be my theory in there.
Just so you know, when the year started, the XLF, which is the banking component of the S&P, was, I'm going to say, $28, give or take 20 cents.
Right.
And right now it's at 26.56, so it's down, you know, whatever. What's it? Well, 10% would be $2.
Yeah, I mean,
it's down 5%
it's been a dog, and I really thought that was going to be one of the ones you know, that went this year.
I did, too. And it took Goldman Sachs in the last week or so is taking the steam out of it because Goldman's getting and spanked pretty good. I mean, it's I got Goldman down. It's down again this morning. It's 202. And I'm going to say, where did Goldman just – I don't watch this one that much, John, but where would you say that Goldman peaked this year?
I have no idea.
Well, I would not have guessed this. Try 275.
It's so probably somewhere in there, I would guess.
So it's down $75. That's a real number. That's since March. Wow.
Yep.
Well, there's one reason why the XLF isn't doing so hot is Goldman Sachs.
Right. Because you're Wells and B of A, they haven't done great, but, you know, they also haven't had any serious pullbacks either.
Well, Goldman Sachs has got to be the fourth or fifth biggest in that index, right?
Yeah.
Well, it can't be as big as one of the top four, but it's got to be right behind them. It's down what? It's down 30%, for God's sake. So that'll take a few cents off the XLF.
Yeah, well, exactly.
And you know, this, when you are looking at these kinds of things, this is why it's very, very difficult, you know, to be picking stocks. All you need is one clunker like this. It's down 30, and you can have basically three others that are up 10, and you're even. And who would have thought, you know, in March that your biggest risk is Goldman Sachs? And yet here it is. And I'm not so sure 202 is going to hold here, do you, Jen? I mean, if anything, I think she's got further to go.
I think it definitely could be more downside for Goldman Sachs.
As I mentioned this guy yesterday, a new client, I said, you know, if by the time, you know, the accounts get here and everything, it takes a little while, if we get another couple of bad weeks in these fangs, I've got this morning Amazon down another $26, trading $15.92. The other thing was as high as, what, $21.50? I'm going to say we get another couple of crummy weeks in these things. As long as we're protected, Jen, I wouldn't mind putting a little toe in the QQQ. I'm getting close.
Yeah, I would entertain that, too. I would agree with you there. I would entertain that, too. I mean, yeah, you're right. I would want to be protected in those, though.
But if somebody dropped me to the 10 mil today, Jen, and of course somebody might. Who knows? The door's always open. I'm going to say,
yep,
I would put...
We're open all day long.
Yeah, I would say I'd put... the first thing I'd do is ask Dan to get me a six-month T-bill for 2.5 mil and a three-month T-bill for 2.5 mil. And I'd over the next couple of weeks, I'd be very selective, and I'd probably sprinkle the other five around somewhere. I wouldn't even touch the other stuff. 3 months from now, when the one comes due, I'll look to do something there. In 6 months, I don't think I got to put all $10 million to work today. I honestly don't. I mean,
well, not only that, right? I agree with you. It wouldn't be prudent, you know, to put all that, you know, to work right away. So I would agree with you.
There's
too many unknowns there to you know, place that kind of money around.
The hardest part, I mean, I'll say the challenge and the hardest part about what Jan and I do, our profession, is, you know, trying to do the right thing for clients is when somebody shows up with an account with maybe four or five big chunks of stock, all of which maybe aren't doing so hot. You know, and I got, you know, 300,000 worth of this one. By the way, it used to be 350. And I got 400,000 worth of this one. And by the way, it used to be 500. And you sit there and go, ugh. I mean, the hardest thing in the world, Jan, for me, because, I mean, I traded in the OEX. I know how to, you know, I can handle individual stocks. I mean, we've done it. We do that for people. But the hardest thing in the world is an individual stock. I bought it at 80. It's trading 70. What do you think? And you're like, well, I like the company a lot, but I have no idea whether 70 is the number, 65, 75. I mean, I trust the market there. Now, in the indexes, I have a better feel, you know, because that's what I did for 18 years. And I say, look, the market here is a lot better than it was 3 weeks ago, but still, let's protect ourselves. Let's let our calls Let's not be so tight on the calls because we might bounce back up because of this train of things. So the last thing I want to do is buy something at 70 and sell a 71 calls. Let's either not sell them all or sell the 75s and just be happy with getting a few shekels instead of something more. I'm probably a little more bullish here, a little more than bearish. But still, I think overall in the next few months, we're down another 5% in the market and maybe we just bump along there for a year or two. I think it's time for that kind of a, what do they call that? Not a V-shaped bottom, but a bathtub bottom.
I see us being more sideways than anything, right?
But I'm not afraid of, if we're protected in the program, of the market going down 5%. We can handle that. You know, we'll roll the stuff down and we'll make the money back on the calls. It's not ideal. I mean, you'd rather buy the bottom, but for God, in 30 some years, I think I've bought the bottom once or sold the top. I mean, you've got to trust your instincts and you got to trust your strategy. That I'm protected if it goes down. Maybe if we were, nothing it says, Jen, I might, if Fari's right and all this political stuff's going to start to happen, there's nothing wrong with putting a quarter of somebody's money to work and saying, instead of buying, okay, I should buy 100 puts, nothing it says I can't buy 125, right? Or 120,
exactly.
Or 150, or say I don't really want to sell the calls, I don't want to, how's this for a word? I don't want to truncate my upside. Because I think if they declare victory on the China thing, we might get this pop, and I don't want calls in the way. Maybe I won't do the calls. Maybe I'll buy one and a half as many puts, you know, or I'll buy the right number of puts, and I'll buy another 25 put spreads or something, you know, just because I think it might sneak down.
Right. And the key there for the listeners out there is, and what you're saying is to make sure you have your protection on, the calls, you know. You can play that any way you wish as far as your feeling is directional in the market, but the puts is the important thing to have
to have
on there for the protection.
And it all depends on the person. I mean, you're probably more likely in Arizona. Well, I used to get a lot of that here, but I don't get as many retired people in the Chicago area as I used to. You're probably more likely to get that portfolio from somebody who's not working. So you have to be a lot more careful about not losing in that portfolio. If somebody's got a portfolio and is still working and is still growing and still contributing to it, I'm not afraid of a 5% drop if I've got some puts. But if somebody that's all the money they're ever going to have, you might have to be a little more careful. But guess what? You might have to sell the calls even if you don't want to, because you want to pay for those puts. You don't want to drain it. So, I mean, a lot of it depends on the individual too, John, right?
Oh, of course. Of course. Things are all custom made, I guess is what I'm saying, according to where they're at in life or what their goals are, what their risk tolerance is, just a whole bunch of things.
Last few days, though, Jen, the people that have called, a lot of people, more than, these people are younger than the people that I brought in 10 years ago, a lot of people now are in these gambling stocks. I have... I don't like to say, I never say I have no idea, because you don't want to tell people that, but how the hell, I have no idea whether the Macau situation is good for Caesars World or Las Vegas Sands or any of these places. I mean, I find those things very hard to value. Do you? I mean, do you have a better clue on that than me?
No, that's definitely not my forte. They're opening all the time in these Native American casinos and how all that affects it. I know out in Arizona here, we have so many now, and there's one that just opened by the stadium, so how do all these things, as they're expanding in these areas, how does that affect Vegas and Atlantic City and all these other places in the world? Does it affect it? Does it not affect it? I mean, who the heck knows, Tom?
Well, I know as much as I give, our president, some heat for things that I think he should do differently, and I still hope that he kind of changes the bus around after 2 years, like Clinton sort of did. Maybe he will, too. People rant and rave on the guy and what happened to him in New Jersey and this bankruptcy and that bankruptcy. And I'm not, the fact that the bankruptcy laws can be used to essentially at the end of the day screw your partners and you end up with more than you start out going in it. I mean, how that all happens, you know what, John, it's not my, you know, I'm not that kind of guy. I don't know much about that, but the fact is it happens. And but I mean, if you look at the history of that, what you were mentioning, and I, you know, I don't know much about Indian casinos and those kinds of things. I've been to one. Actually, I've never been to one. But when he put all that together in Atlantic City with a few other people, built casinos there, and they were taxed, you know, pretty much out the behind, and the competition was there, and they did okay for a while, and all of a sudden they put that Indian casino in up, Native American casino, whatever you want to call it, up in Connecticut, that at the time wasn't it the world's biggest casino? And some of the ones in New Jersey were massive, John, just massive. And they were way bigger than the ones I remember in Vegas I used to go to. I mean they were right. Designed for like, you know, 100 buses to show up with all the blue-haired ladies pile in, and there was a seat for everybody. I mean, Vegas was never like that. I mean, old Vegas was never like that. I mean, you could have put, I mean, the one I was in New Jersey, this is 25 years ago, I'm going to say you could have put 15 of the old Caesars Palace casinos in this place. I mean, it was that big. Well, all of a sudden, they open up this Indian casino in Connecticut, which is now closer to New York, and I think those guys, their taxes were one-tenth of what Trump was paying.
Right.
So it's not surprising that the people in New Jersey, even though I'm no Trump fan, that's horrible to happen to anybody, even him. Right? All of a sudden, wait a minute, my competition, you guys been grabbing every other dollar from me for 10 years, now these guys don't have to do any of that? They're closer, they're newer, that's cool. Right? I mean, the system didn't exactly work for him at all. And yet, you're saying, you guys, the people in Phoenix, you never had casinos that weren't Native American casinos, correct? That's the way they start. So there's not like you and I paid through the nose to put one in downtown Phoenix, and all of a sudden everybody else competing against us not paying any taxes. At least nobody got caught in that trick bag.
No. All we have here is there's been some infighting among, you know, some of these tribal people, you know, because now this was a real coup to get this one by the stadium, and the ones that are on the outskirts of the city, you know, those reservations are ticked off at this one got this choice land right in the, you know, middle of Glendale there.
Well, somebody has a Native American casino in downtown Milwaukee. Downtown.
Right.
I don't know. God only knows where that all came from. All right, John, we had Fari say stay short. I don't know. What are you thinking? I'm not so sure. I'm down this much this morning. I don't know if I want to be short right here. But
well, my puts are on, and I'll flip a coin.
SP Futures now down 17. We had them down as much as 23. Dow down 141. It was down as much as like 180. NASDAQ down 81. We'll see what happens today, John. Thank you. Jay-Z, nice job. Back on Monday, Stacks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.